It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
It's going to stop raining.
728 WGN. I don't know. We're in a dry slot. That's the funny thing. This is called a dry slot, and it's like it's raining like I'll get out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we're just kind of caught in this roller coaster. Now it could be worse because you saw what happened in other parts of the country over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Ice storms and things like that.
They had to delay the NFL playoff game, right?
Yeah.
Because of it.
They had to move the Kansas City game. The game in Kansas City slated for yesterday afternoon to last night, which did not help the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-mm. Which, by the way, I don't know why there's not primetime every Sunday night for these playoff games. I love that schedule.
I know.
Better than the noon 3 traditional start. I loved having the primetime game last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I thought that was a very strange thing.
But then you miss 60 minutes, and then you don't really know that your weekend's over.
You didn't have to miss 60 minutes, though.
Right.
Sunday scaries didn't kick until later.
Yeah, no, the 60 minutes was right at 6 o'clock last night. Tick, 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 tick. And I got depressed just on cue. And then there was the Obama farewell show where Steve Croft, you know, they talked about all the different times he's interviewed the president.
Including 10 years ago, when he first announced he was running.
But we did the Sunday scaries. We're very much in, you know, tick, tick, tick.
But it was helped by the evening game. I'm with you, Kevin.
Yeah,
then you had fun
it.
And excitement.
By the way, monster numbers for the NFL yesterday.
Oh,
more people watched the
Packers-Cowboys
game than Game 7 of the World Series. Can you believe that?
No,
yeah.
I cannot.
But
it was a great game.
I want to say, though, that the Sunday scaries used to be like Murder, She Wrote. When I'd hear the Murder, She Wrote theme, I'd want to hang myself. And now
something terrible is about to happen.
Right. Now it's Madam Secretary that does the same thing to me. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Whatever's on CBS at 7 o'clock at night is like, oh, no. Oh, no.
It's over.
No,
the week
no.
Is here.
Oh, God. Not NCIS. No.
You just know it. Then, right?
You just feel
you
it.
You see it.
All right. So on Friday, the Justice Department report was released. I know that you guys talked about it on Friday on the show. And
right, with Lori Lightfoot.
Lori Lightfoot was talking about it. And now there are a group of aldermen in the city council that want an investigation to go beyond the Chicago Police Department, but now to the city law department. Alderman Scott Wagsback is joining us, and he's one of those who was mulling the thought. Is that a fair way of saying it, or even further, Alderman?
Good evening, guys. Mulling is probably a good way to put it.
Okay.
We did send a letter to the DOJ, to Loretta Lynch, before the report came out, and we just asked for a direct review of the one of the divisions of the City Council, or the City of Chicago Law Department.
And so what would you like to see done here? What's the basis for it?
Well, this goes, I think, years back where federal judges have been laying down sanctions on the law department. And a report came out the other day that it's, you know, just in the last few years, we've had 3 of them that were pretty expensive. You know, we're talking $700,000 for sanctions. And then you had the law department come out and say that Dan Webb did a review of the department and he found no wrongdoing. But you have federal judges saying there's a lot of wrongdoing in their rulings. And, you know, they're slapping the city for this wrongdoing. So what we're saying is we need to clean out the federal civil rights division of the law department and get somebody in there who can really take a good look at it.
Well, now let's go back to explain what the city law department does. Is it defends, it's basically the lawyer for the city, right? It defends
right.
Civil cases or these kind of injunctive cases that come out of Washington, whatever they happen to be. And so and in civil cases, they're the ones constantly defending the city against people who want to sue them for slipping on a sidewalk or for a police action. Right. And Alderman, you're well aware of the fact that of those kinds of cases that come, there's a certain percentage of them. And it's a mystery, but let's just call it, you know, a decent enough percentage, somewhere over 25%
mm-hmm.
that are probably not justifiable cases to bring. So the law department does have a tough job to try to weed that stuff out. Do they not?
Right.
And to defend police
and
I just want to make a finer point here, to defend police in a situation which are judgment calls, time of action judgment calls that are made by police officers.
Yeah, and I think they do a pretty good job of defending a lot of those cases, whether the police or trip and fall or whatever it might be. But I think when you have a pattern of what we've seen, which is the federal judge is saying you're withholding evidence, deliberately withholding evidence, that's where we run into problems. And if you saw in the Pinex case where Jordan Marsh and another attorney were let go, there was a, you know, the sanctions there were basically the judge saying, you deliberately withheld information. So that kind of goes beyond your duty as an attorney. But this kind of goes back to, I think, to the whole way that the Fifth Floor acts around many of different issues. And it goes back to the parking meter deal where we had, you know, the city, the second one where the city attorney, Steve Patton, was basically telling aldermen, if you want the information, go hire your own attorney. And basically telling aldermen, we're not going to give you the information either. So this is, for us, it's a broader issue here of years and years of secrecy and abuse and I think deception by certain people that has led to this problem where federal judges are laying down sanctions. So it's not just the city council saying this. This is federal judges saying you've got a serious problem in Chicago, and that's why we asked the DOJ to look at it.
Do you think the DOJ's current rulings on the police department, the reforms that they've notified the city about, can they be effective without some kind of review within the city law department? Because don't they work hand in hand in a lot of these cases?
No, I don't think they'll be as effective. I think it's helpful to see what they wrote, but the city council is, you know, we have a problem in the way we run things. We have the law department that needs to change. We have an administration that needs to change. So it's not just about the police officers. It's about the whole city and all of our processes. So I wouldn't put the blame just on the police and just certain mm-hmm. attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Well, but let's go back to the law department here in terms of the this has been a number of administrations we're talking about here. Well, two.
Yeah.
How many administrations have there been the last 100 years here? But it's, you know, you're dealing with two different mayors and two different styles of administration. Is your argument that there has been no change between those two?
Yeah, there's been very little change from what I've seen and from people that I've heard that used to be in the law department that have kind of walked me through it and others and basically said the things that need to reform have not changed. Now, has Steve Patton and some other people come in and made some changes around the edges? Have they fought back on some of these settlements? Yes, and a lot of us think that's a good thing. But there's some very deep-seated problems that have not been touched and have not reformed. So that's really what we're looking at.
And do you think that's because they're answering to the Fifth Floor and the mayor's office and there's some kind of conflict there? I mean, what would you say is the reason behind why we haven't moved forward more than we have?
Well, I think sometimes it is directly. I mean, when the corporation council tells you, I work for the mayor, I don't work for the people of the city, yeah, that's a direct conflict, and that's telling it all right there. I think on some of these other civil rights cases, I think it's supervision, that the attorneys don't have somebody that is at the top that's saying, here's exactly how we're going to do things the right way, because that's what the federal courts want. And if the federal courts want it and they're laying down those sanctions, I think that's where we need the reform, and that's where we need to focus on.
Yeah. I wonder. Okay, so let's talk about where this goes here from here. And I wonder if there is a clear path. I mean, you sent a letter to DOJ. You got a transition in DOJ. Assuming that Jeff Sessions becomes the attorney general, I think they're going to look at Chicago in a very different way than they have been looking at Chicago.
Oh, I think so, too. I think you're right. I wouldn't rely on Jeff Sessions to help us out. I think, you know, the federal courts are going to keep hammering us if we don't change something. The Department of Justice could come in and look at that and say, look, we're going to make some recommendations outside of the patterns and practices investigation. But, I mean, if we had an attorney in the lead spot who was really convinced and a mayor who was, you know, actually doing something about this instead of sitting back and watching the world go by.
Really. Oh, God. Wait, you know what? Now I'm going to get
now
the call.
Now he said it.
Now you did it.
It's you too, Ro.
Yeah, now you just said it to me. Yeah.
Yeah, if the mayor were concerned about it, he wouldn't be so cynical, right? He wouldn't be saying, oh, the critics are going to come out and say we're not doing enough. But it's federal judges we're talking about that keep slapping the city with all these fines. Mm-hmm. So if you were the mayor or if you were the corporation council, you'd say, look, we got a problem over here. Let's fix it. When it gets to the eighth time, just in the last few years, I think that's where the person at the top needs to say, let's get in there and change it and let's fix it.
Yeah. And the hard part for me as just a citizen to understand and accept is that the wrongdoing in these offices or maybe just the not doing it properly for whatever reason is causing a huge amount of taxpayer-funded payouts and things like that. I mean, we've seen $500 million in over 10 years in police issues and misconduct, and some of them are largely to do with the way the city handled things and potentially right. the police department as well.
Yeah, that's true, but the federal judges aren't talking about the police officers here. They're just talking about the attorneys. So yeah, the DOJ report, yes, that's a broader topic, and I think that's why we're trying to draw. And we were looking at the city council, too. We weren't just saying it's just the lawyers. It's how do we look at settlements? How do we get the information so that taxpayers know, you know, if we're making the final settlements here, are they getting what they, you know, what they're supposed to be?
Right.
All right. Well, all right.
Is there any hope for the alderman to be? Remember, let's bring us back to the Inspector General, Faisal Khan, who we had on so many times. Because you remember, if we're talking about inspecting wrongdoing or investigating it, he was also looking into aldermen as well and the city in general. And he left, as we all know, because they took his funding away and they told him he had to inform aldermen of their being investigated. And that then he just went away. Is that something you would see? Is that fair to do as well, Alderman, to looking at, you know, the business of the people?
Of your august body.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's some of us who've been pushing for it. You know, the mayor, when he came in, said 5 years ago, I'm going to have IG oversight over the council. This past year, we had a close vote. We only missed by one vote to have the inspector general. You know, Faisal Khan is gone, but the inspector general is Ferguson now. We had a vote that was only one vote off. The mayor could have pushed the, you know, that over the top, where we would have had IG, you know, oversight over the city council and the mayor's office. But, you know, we had roadblocks there. So mm-hmm. we were close this past year, and that's our caucus push for it. But we need that. Taxpayers need that.
Yeah, it does seem as a lifelong taxpayer, mm-hmm. or, you know, either as a resident or a lifelong taxpayer in the city of Chicago, I don't think I'm getting the kind of
bang
for my buck mm-hmm. that
agree. It feels like that.
You're probably right.
That a lot of people have, you know. It's like I stop and I think about the circumstances with the schools and the and crime and the other kinds of things that happen in Chicago that could be better. Mm-hmm. And I just know as a professional, since I've entered this industry, half of the city council has the 26 members, more than half now, have been indicted since right. I first breathed into a microphone in the city. So that just tells me, current or former, let's put it that way. That's mm-hmm. an important thing. They weren't all just sitting there and dragged out in handcuffs. So I think there's room for oversight. There certainly is room for criticism. I'll tell you, some of the things that came to my mind, as I'm a very staunch supporter of the Chicago Police Department, Chicago Police Work. I'm on the board of the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. I find a lot of the criticism of the Chicago Police Department in some cases to be, whether it's political or just, you know, done for business reasons, some of it is unwarranted. But one of the things I found interesting in this DOJ report, which I think it elucidates a bigger problem, is that the training isn't the same. The best practices training is not necessarily the same as it should be. Is not current, and even though you can have standing orders, the retraining purpose, you know, for reasons of, you know, not shooting at a fleeing vehicle or things like that. Which again, you know, you're a police officer, you're sworn to protect people, mm-hmm. and you know, there's a guy who's a man or woman not doing the right thing, driving at a high rate of speed away from you from an incident, away from the police. That hits an instinct with law enforcement folks. Doesn't matter who they are. They don't have to be in a Chicago police uniform. They can be anywhere. That person's up to no good, and someone else is in danger. And their need to protect does kick in. And we do need right. to address that issue, because that is an unfair position to put them in. Because mm-hmm. it does. It tells them, hey, don't do your job. There are moments where you can turn on and turn off your job. And that's not easy, right? No one can do that.
So, yeah, I don't think it is at all, and I agree with you there. But that's, again, where you're saying you need good sergeants, lieutenants.
Yes, but you also need good training, and you need and perhaps you need defined rules of the road that are instilled, that are back trained, right?
Yeah.
There's a continuing education component to this mm-hmm. that is, you know, that is important. And yeah, okay, there are guys who've been on the job for, you know, 20 years or whatever, 25 years. It's gonna be a little hard to get them, but those guys are pretty wise. If they've been there, they're pretty wise about the way they've seen this stuff come and go, right? So I just think that there needs to be, I think the best way here with the Chicago Police Department, if I could just jump into that,
sure.
Frey, because I didn't get a chance to talk about it on Friday.
Big topic.
I think there's a way to I think it's it, they're just getting the crap kicked out of them for over a year now, a year, you know, year and a quarter. It has just been
longer.
Yeah, it's been longer than that. But I mean, it's really been at the national attention since Laquan McDonald.
Definitely
right?
National.
So this is a situation where since the video came out, I should say. So this is a circumstance where, you know, guys, men and women who are out there doing their job every day, very, very, mostly very, very well, and under trying circumstances, and on mean and very dangerous streets, that those people need to be supported, and we need to find a way to say to them, because they you know, that's why I'm encouraging people to put cameras in the cars, put documentary crews in those cars, because see what these guys go through, these men and women go through on the street, and see the level of disconnect culturally that is occurring when they are confronted with doing their job. And that is a really, really, really hard circumstance, because you've got people who are now basically saying to them, you can't talk to me about this. You can't touch me. You can't know. And there is this sense, and you know, and whatever the root causes of that are, you know, are as probably as addressable as the root causes of some police violence, but it doesn't matter. We're beyond that. We can't, you know, just sit, all got to the root causes. University of Chicago has been trying to get the root causes for 130 years. There have to be new rules of engagement here, and we have to use the same sort of strategies that are used in foreign conflicts of dealing with warring factions to try to negotiate some sort of rules of engagement here moving forward, because there are people in these neighborhoods, Alderman, and you know it, and it's happening in your neighborhood now too. It's happening in neighborhoods throughout this city. All 50 wards are seeing this, where people are afraid to go out in the street, and they're worried about things that are happening, and, you know, on weekends, or, you know, it's crazy, and this needs to be addressed in a fair and real and honest way. I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, I worked in the Balkans for years off and on, and I agree with you. I mean, there's different models that you can use, but the communities have to step up and, you know, work from within too. But I think you're right on with the training as well. And we've got great officers out there. I think they were undermined by, you know, losing people to attrition. We're finally getting some FTOs that are helping out with the new officers. But I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Alderman.
It.
Thanks for
you guys
time.
Have a great night.
And thank you for listening to me opine. And I had to do that because then, you know, he took a shot at Mayor Emanuel, and then I'll get the phone call.
I know. I was worried about that, too.
Listen, you little son of a... You know, it always sounds like, even though he doesn't sound like him at all, but it always sounds like Clint Eastwood calling. I want to talk to you about something that happened.
You sort of hear it reverberate in your ears, even though that's not really happening.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Alderman said it. I don't disagree with him. All right, here we go. We got Violetta Powder Medic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.